2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the week two DFS Army Geek and Keg Results Pod. Now, what we're doing here today and what we do every week with this podcast is we look back at the sheets that I put out, that Keg put out, the coaches' note sheets for the week to kind of see where we went right, where we went wrong, because it's very, very important to look back and kind of reassess, did I make a mistake? Did just get hit by variance? Did we do something well? Did we do something bad? Super important. And I want DFS Army members, subscribers, and any of you who happen to fall upon this on YouTube and watching this video, A, you guys get an understanding of kind of a little bit about what we do in DFS Army. And B, for DFS Army members, I want you to understand what we were inferring and talking about with these notes. And of course, we have our head-to-head cash game challenge, myself versus Keg, every single week. We're going to update that one as well, and kind of see who's kicking whose ass. We have a little side bet going, me and Keg, and see who will be the grand champion for this season. So follow along with that, and we'll see how it goes. What's up, my man, Keg?
It's good to be here, man. Another week in the books. Overall, I thought it was all right. It's kind of funky. Seems like the injury bug bit a lot of people this week. So it was kind of wild, but I think overall it was a pretty good week. So
no complaints. Week two was a reminder that in-game injuries are a very very serious thing. Yeah. It was also a reminder of what we've been saying since day one, what I've been talking about, what all the researchers said, which is beware of the chalk wide receiver most of the time. So a couple things that kind of, I would say, were confirmed this week. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah, and beware of the in-game injury. So, all right, I'm going to start with my pick sheet, my FanDuel notes. What we're going to do, what we've been doing on this breakdown is I'll do, rather than go over everything, I'll go over my FanDuel notes for the week that DFS Army subscribers got a chance to take a look at. We'll go over, Keg will go over his DraftKings/fantasy draft notes for the week, which DFS Army members got to get their hands on, and then we will look at our head-to-head cash game lineup. So what you see up on the screen are Geeks Picks FanDuel coaches notes for week two. And as you can see at the quarterback position, I'm pretty happy with the way things went, actually, for the quarterback position. I had Pat Mahomes as a core play. I mean, shocker. It wasn't a difficult one. I personally rolled 35% exposure to Mahomes in tournaments.
Very nice.
Is that about what you did too, Craig?
Yeah, I was around 30-35%, right in that threshold. I don't know exactly, but it was right around there as well.
Yeah, I did not get the DeMarcus Robinson combination, unfortunately, which really was necessary to win a tournament with that combo. Yep. But, you know, I had my best lineups definitely were that one. I'm pretty happy with my quarterback position overall this week. If you look at my other kind of all play, it was Lamar Jackson. So, you know, at the top end of the salary range, the only two real players that I was heavily involved with were Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Both crushed it this week.
They did.
So super happy with the way that went. I like Lamar Jackson. If you read the note there, it's just, you know, I like him. I love Mahomes, but Jackson was kind of closer in salary to this other group that were all projecting way less in my mind than him. So I thought it was a much easier play on FanDuel than on DraftKings, where I was a little more nervous with Lamar Jackson kind of being significantly closer to Patrick Mahomes in salary. I was always going to reach up for Mahomes on DraftKings. Moving down the list, you see the only other quarterback I had listed as a all play or sort of a core play for me was Josh Allen. He was cheap. I loved him on FanDuel and DraftKings. And quite honestly, and we'll get to this on the cash game part of the discussion, my cash lineup, I went back and forth between going down to Allen or going up to Mahomes the whole time. And exactly what I thought would happen kind of did, where Allen really delivered for his, you know, lower price point. But Mahomes got you that 35, and man, I love those points in cash. Were you on kind of the same thought process in cash? Not that we've gotten there yet, but Ken, were you kind of on that same process?
Yeah, it was just one of those weeks with the salaries came out so early with Oakland playing that Monday night game that we had just obvious chalk with those guys, and there was no reason not to pay up for Mahomes when you know you're locking in the highest floor of any quarterback, and the ceiling is just insane. So it's just a week where you didn't really have to think about it.
Absolutely. For my GPP picks, I mean, none of the GPP plays were spectacular. I think Dak had a pretty good game at Washington. Goff obviously has been a disaster 2 weeks in a row. At this point, can't feel safe with him at all. Breeze got hurt. Roethlisberger got hurt. So Russell Wilson had a very nice game, though. But for the most part, there was a lot of in-game injuries and weird shit that happened with some of these guys that really affected it. But most of the QB's choices were actually pretty decent here, except for the guys who got hurt and Jared Goff, who just fucking sucked. He's borderline dead to me. he will never get more than 2 stars again. If you can't do well in that matchup, I'm sorry.
It was a funky game with everything that was going on to it. So,
now industry wide, we heard this week, and Keg, this was a thing industry wide. The when you hear other pods, when you hear the break, oh, this was a tough week, very, very tough week, a difficult, brutal week. What are they talking about? Well, a brutal week is generally when the chalk running backs don't do what they're supposed to do. When the industry is whinging, it's a week when the running backs that everybody loaded up on didn't do what they were supposed to do. So that did happen this week. I was pretty happy on FanDuel. I had Barkley rated ahead of Kamara. I always liked Barkley more. There was a significant salary difference between the two of them on DraftKings that had me higher on Kamara on DraftKings, unfortunately. But... yeah, that sucked. But, you know, injury, or maybe it just wasn't going to be a good game for him. I don't know. But maybe the Breeze injury had something. But on FanDuel, I was able to avoid that disaster and get on Barkley, who was just fine. Not the greatest play, but certainly smashed what Kamara did. And, you know, if you played Barkley, you pretty much cashed in your FanDuel cash lineup. The second spot was a little bit tougher. You know, I had GPP plays on Cook, who did really well, and Zeke, who did really well. But I was pretty much, and we loved Austin Eckler. Eckler was like the hit of the week. I was all over him on both sites as a top play. But really the ones that hurt, I think, a lot were going down the list, because you always want that third running back. Sony Michel, okay. Josh Jacobs, just all right. I mean, they didn't hit well. If you landed on Kamara, it was a disaster. And then... you know, you got some decent names here in Breida, but a lot of these running backs failed this week, which was why it was such a low scoring week across the board.
It was. And talking about the Breida pick, like, if you watch that game, I mean, they just called up Wilson off the practice squad, and he was, I mean, they're just telling you that there's no lead back in that. That is a committee backfield. And even though that Breida was so efficient in those touches he got, you can't play that. You just can't play them. You just don't know what's going to happen.
I am not getting on with Breida. Mostert had a good game. Wilson Jr. had a good game. At some point, I'm not counting on three running backs doing well.
If one of them goes off and it burns me, so what? But I'm not playing Russian roulette with three running backs, that any of them, the way that they use them. There's just no reason to.
Hell no. So, I mean, I'm you know, and I wrote that in the note here. Scrappy running back. I really like him. But, you know, Mostert looms large, and then Wilson Jr. was called up. So, you know, the note was pretty spot on for that guy. I mean, again, Devin Singletary gets hurt. Kenyon Drake just doesn't get used in his offense. I liked him as an outside play because I really thought they'd be playing from behind, throw to him. But they just refused to give him touches. And, you know, you got Derrick Henry in the mix here. So there was a couple good calls in here. But for the most part, the core of Jacobs, you know, my core on FanDuel was Jacobs, Eckler, and Barkley, and that was definitely good enough to do just fine. Avoiding the Kamara disaster was key on FanDuel. All right, wide receiver position. Again, a little tough, always tough.
Yep.
not gonna lie, it was tough this week. You know, the pay-up options, Juju, Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, none of these guys really kind of paid off paying up for them. Davante Adams was the best of the group. Sammy Watkins was a bust. T.Y. Hilton. I mean, there were so many busts up top here, it's not even believable. So what are you going to do? None of the high-priced wide receivers really made value or came through for what they were asking. You had to go all the way down to, you know, Tyler Lockett, who I loved. I'm happy with the Tyler Lockett, the Cooper Kupp pick. John Ross is there. John Brown. You know, there was a couple good plays down the line. Tyrell Williams, I thought, was a core play. Spectacular. We knew that going in. Larry Fitzgerald did great. If you continue to score, so Mecole Hardman. So there were some good plays down the line on the cheaper side here, but almost all the payoff options were busts for me. And I don't know of any that actually did well across the board. Am I missing it? Am I missing something? Did somebody have a great game who was an expensive wide receiver?
Not a great game. I mean, Allen did okay, but nobody was going to like win GPPs with. I mean, you needed DeMarcus Robinson. You need Robinson to win GPPs yesterday.
Needed DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah, you needed John Ross.
Both, like, you could have stacked Dalton and both Cincinnati wide receivers. They both went over for 20 plus. So, if that's the silly coordinator, you really got to start looking for Cincinnati. He's like, we're so used to that regime that just is a dumpster fire, and seeing how much they're throwing the ball lately, you just got to have to forget about those last decade and realize that this is the new Cincinnati. If they're going to start chucking the ball around, we got to start playing these middling wide receivers. And then when AJ Green gets back, I mean, watch out.
Kind of harken back to when the Rams got rid of Foster, fucking head coach. What the hell was his name? Foster?
Coach Tennessee as well.
The worst coach in the NFL, basically.
Especially for DFS.
No, for anything. He's just, how is this guy a coach? So they got rid of that fucking horrible coach, and they brought in Sean McVay, and all of a sudden it was like an explosion of offensive points. Now the league is starting to catch up to it, but maybe the Rams are in that sort of the Bengals are in that mode where you remember how the Rams just were amazing for like 6-7 weeks in a row until the league kind of caught on to what they were up to.
Yeah, I just think that they're throwing the ball a lot, and like I have to pull up the stat and we'll get into it more for week three. But I was reading something earlier that was talking about how much they throw in neutral situations now, and it was ungodly more than the league. So in neutral situations, they're not just saying, hey, let's run up the middle. They're saying, hey, let's rear back and throw the ball. So that's a trend that we really have to look at evaluating Cincinnati in their key positions.
And again, it'll take the league a few more weeks to catch up to that shit. So just like what happened with the Rams last year, we could see that, or 2 years ago when McVay took over, we could see that sort of, when was it, last year? I can't even remember. But
it's hard to you know, don't not think about a team that's just been such a dumpster fire for so long to just kind of dump all that memory away and say, hey, we got a new offensive coordinator here. They're doing things differently. Same players. It's really hard to, like, that's one of the big edges in DFS still is being able to say, hey, okay, this is not the same situation. It might be the same players there, but when they get put in a different role, they can excel in those roles. So
it's a lot. I mean, coaching does matter, and it's not so much that, like, it definitely matters, but the worst part is terrible coaching, like Marvin Lewis, terrible coaching. Hugh Jackson, some of these guys are just horrific coaches, and so their teams just suck. And again, the Tennessee guy was that way. Gus Bradley was that. There are certain coaches that are just terrible, and when they leave, it's addition by subtraction. All right, let's jump to the tight end position real quick from last week. I thought we did pretty good with the choices here. I mean, it's not to say that many did great, but you know, Kelsey, the core play, of course, super obvious, whatever. How do we not play them? Darren Waller was my 4-star pay down option. Easy, easy choice. Darren Waller, he did fine. He's operating as a wide receiver. KC, opponent. There was nothing about this matchup that didn't scream, yes, please. Then the bust was Evan Ingram, and it wasn't super shocking. I didn't have very much Evan Ingram at all. Mainly because he was in that weird salary range. I'm almost always going to pay up for a George Kittle if I can get him for a few hundred more. Like, that burned me a little bit in week one. I didn't really have much Evan Ingram either. I just think Eli Manning sucks. But now that Eli Manning is out for the Giants, I'm going to rethink that. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
Yeah.
Anything I'm rethink. Is going to be better than that corpse that was in there.
So. Like, again, addition by subtraction. They just got rid of Marvin Lewis and brought in, like, Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So now there's a real quarterback in New York. The final note, you know, Patriots all play, of course. If you got them, great. They smashed. Ravens, good, but not great. Texans were the ones I had the most of on FanDuel, on DraftKings, because they were cheaper. On FanDuel, it didn't make any sense to pay down. I either paid down for the 49ers. That's why they're here. I always look for the lowest viable, and it didn't work, but I look for the cheapest viable defense in cash games for the most part. Is that something you do in cash, Keg?
It really depends. Like, when I start a cash game, I'll throw like my favorite middle ground. That way I can work low or high depending on what I have left. So I'll throw someone in there that's right in the mid range I'm looking at. And then like this year though, man, just seeing how bad Miami is, I don't even know if you even need to go anywhere else besides just whoever's playing Miami. I mean, they have just looked like,
That price is going up though. That
it
price
is going up. Oh my Lord. Like
it's one of those times. One of those times when that team legitimately looks like the worst team ever in the history of the NFL.
It's like not even close. It's crazy.
Coaches matter. So yeah, I mean, you know, we had the Patriots as an all play. Baltimore at home taking on a rookie quarterback. Again, the rookie did well, but I think Baltimore defense did pretty well there as well. Texans, I think, scored 12 or 13 points in this game, so they were fine. Most of these defenses were okay. The pay down option with the 49ers, you know, I think they got like 4 points. Like, you know, it wasn't terrible considering how much salary savings you got. But the problem was this week, you didn't really do much. You were way better with the Patriots because saving that money and going up to, you know, Kamara and Barkley together, or, you know, getting an extra what we thought was might be a stud running back in a lineup like James Conner, who was a guy I was really trying to get a lot of exposure to. Unfortunately, he gets hurt in game and, you know, whatever. So I think he could have had a good game. But, you know, the savings that I got from going down to the Texans this week just did not pay off.
All right. Or the 49ers. About this whole defensive thing. Hate defenses. Hate playing them. Hate when you get a week like this where they're 37 points from a defense that's going to win and it screws everything up because of the variance of defense. It pisses me off. Why can't we get on board like college football? We throw a freaking super flex out there. We can run a freaking quarterback. Something else where it's more fun to run two quarterbacks anyways. There's lots more things you can do. It makes you think a lot more instead of just throwing a defense in there and hoping they get a couple of pick sixes. Let's get away from this. This is 2019. Come on.
It's going to be so brutal to redesign the domination station for what you're describing. I almost don't want it to happen just because of how complicated it will be to add that.
No, it's awesome.
No more. We just got the new system in. No more.
Come on.
All right, let's see your sheet, man.
I'm on board with it. I don't care. All right.
You don't care how much dom station development work I have to do.
No, that's your job. You do that. Damn. I just want the defenses to go away. Anyways, yeah, over here at DraftKings, it's pretty obvious if you looked at my sheet that I was going to play Patrick Mahomes. He was core play. He's the only 5-star guy I threw up here. My list is pretty small. But when you constructed lineups and saw how cheap the Raiders guys were, there was enough value out there that you just didn't have to. It was basically, for me, it was Mahomes. I had some Jackson. I had Allen. I had some Carr. Big Ben got hurt. I had a little bit of him, some stacks.
I didn't use any Carr this week at all.
He was cheap enough for 5,100 on DraftKings and how close that spread was, only 7 points. You could have done worse, but again, Allen was the better play for 200 more. But I still don't mind, you know, if that game would have started shooting out back and forth, I don't mind going that. And we've all seen how the injury bug and everything else can happen. And, you know, Allen's on he's either the deep ball or his legs. And that's one thing that when you get a cheap guy like that running, you know, those points add up when the guy can start running the ball. So, yeah, basically, if you looked at the sheet, it's Mahomes. And we've talked about it in depth. Just play Mahomes. And if you didn't end up with him in cash games, I don't know. Then you're not looking at these sheets because we were both on them.
I mean, again, in fairness, I did go back and forth between Allen and Mahomes. I don't have a problem if somebody played Allen in cash here.
I don't, but I guess with this construction, it was just, to me, it made it more obvious just to play the guy that has the higher floor and ceiling in this matchup. I think you could have played easily Allen, but I think it would have burnt you this week because none of the high guys, especially wide receiver, panned out.
Well, that was the issue. If you the play of Allen would have been to replace Josh Jacobs, who I wasn't super high on, to replace Josh Jacobs with a better running back. But the issue was like the better running backs just weren't that great, so it didn't make up for the difference because Mahomes outscoring.
Had to get in, and that's the thing. If there's no one, like, I'm trying to like, well, where's the salary I can save to get up to this guy because I really want him in? There was nobody like that. There was nobody that I had to force in. So anyway,
I agree.
It was the Mahomes show. Down at running back, there was nobody that I was just, hey, hit the lock button here and lock this guy in. Like there was
Eckler was kind of that.
Yeah.
Eckler was the closest thing.
Was, but there was no, like, to me, there was still no, you know, I put Jacobs in there and I had a lot of him. He would have went he was 1 yard short from his 3-point bonus, which would have got him up to 13, 14, which would have been 3X. So, yeah, going from 9.9 up to 13, it would have made a big difference. Didn't get the touchdown.
Well, if he, you know, the variance of not hitting a touchdown, like the difference between that extra yard and a touchdown, he 20 points versus 10.
He would have been double what he had. So,
yeah. Hindsight, he was a great play.
Oh, I still would have went that regardless in that situation. Again, like I was between Barkley and Kamara, but it's so much easier to go to Kamara here in cash games just because you're saving $1,000. Like you talked about on FanDuel, it was so close. This is when it's a great, if you're making two different sets of cash games and you got running backs that are in both good situations that can put up big numbers, roll Kamara and DraftKings and roll Barkley and FanDuel. And that way your eggs are not all in one basket, but you still have that upside and floor in those guys. And
I literally talked about that on the Wolfpack pod.
Yeah. It's something that you'll see probably in one or two positions each week, either by, like we saw in week one when it came down to Winston or Wentz on FanDuel. So if you went Wentz at quarterback on DraftKings and Winston on FanDuel, yeah, that burnt you on FanDuel. But if Wentz would have had a bad game, you know, so you got to look at those things and the price that comes down to them. Cook had a great game. Johnson still, he's still seeing a lot of stuff out of the slot. Like it was a hard matchup, but if he's going to keep seeing all that work as a wide receiver, you got to put him in play here, especially if his price doesn't rise up. Yeah, that Pittsburgh-Seattle game was ugly, and that Jacksonville-Houston game was just ugly. So those two plays didn't pan out so well.
Eckler, yeah. Seattle, my boy Bagger Vance went bananas at the tight end position.
The old Vance did.
Bagger Vance.
But yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear cut. I went down here to Thompson and Peterson. Peterson started out real good. He got a tutty and how cheap he was. But they just fell off towards that second half of the game. You know, like it just, I was looking at him like, hey, all right, both these running backs are starting to go off. And then second half was just like DraftKings broke. Like where are these guys' points at? So when you get guys down in under 4K that are, you know, going to get work, especially Thompson, I'd still go right back there. He's going to get all the passing work.
There's going to be games where Chris Thompson delivers big points.
Big points.
He'll win you a millimaker 1 week this year.
Especially if the price keeps down this way. We've seen it before. If his upside games, and they're pretty massive when you get guys at that price range. I mean, we're talking 6-7X. So, yeah. Again, I'm never going to recommend a San Francisco. We talked about this with Geek, just with how they're spreading things out. You won't see me recommending more San Francisco running backs because they're all going to play.
It's funny. We knew that Cincinnati was terrible against the run. And let's go going forward. We're just going to keep that in mind. Like this past week, literally three separate running backs smashed against the Bengals. So every single week going forward, we're going to kind of like eyeball, all right, who are the Bengals playing hopefully this week and who's their running back?
Hopefully it's one we can just lock in for.
Seriously, who are the Bengals playing this week and who's their running back? Like,
so, fuck. Yeah, those are things we got to look at. You know, it's kind of funny how all those things are kind of running on the Bengals, you know, play running backs against them and then throw out Dalton stacks, which seems sick, but.
That is a beautiful type of stack anyway.
Yeah, so it is. It's kind of let's look at that. Again, wide receivers.
They're playing Buffalo with no running back. Buffalo does not have a running back on the roster.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Damn.
Yeah, that'll be that. Yeah.
Damn. Oops. Frank Gore. Wait. Fuck.
Was he 40, 42?
Singletary got hurt. Fuck.
Yeah, that sucks. That's going to be rough. Oh, I don't want to think about that. Well, wide receivers, again, up top. Breeze getting hurt Michael Thomas a ton. I still like that play. I didn't really like Nuke quite as much because of Ramsey on him. I figured they'd shut him down. I kind of got on Fuller late because when Boye was out, I figured he would get a little bit more work, which when we go and talk about our cash games, that kind of made that decision for me. And I kind of, I'll say regret it, but it would have been even better cash day if I didn't get on that late when I saw that Boye was going to be.
You guys are not going to believe. I'm just building up the anticipation to our cash lineups. Yeah, you're not going to believe it.
It's pretty nuts.
They're not going to. When I say they're not going to believe it, I legitimately mean they're not going to believe it. We will be called liars.
I know who will.
But I just want to point that out. So anticipation. Stick around for this.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty silly. Pretty hate it, but it is what it is. And I ain't doing that crap. I'm gonna smoke you next week. But Keenan Allen again. No problem there. It was when I was looking at cash and stuff. There was two. It was basically I was down to three wide receivers here, and I was like either going to Thomas or I was just debating between Allen and Juju. And so when you do that, your other wide receiver, because we were, if we roll down here a little bit, you know, we'll see Williams as a core play as a four. I didn't put him as a five-star play because I have a hard time doing that for wide receivers in the variants. So I don't really like to put him as any wide receiver as a five-star play unless they're free.
Just in general, you and I have talked about in general at the wide receiver position, it's so fucking volatile. The bust rate is so high that you can almost never feel confident enough to give anyone five stars for all intents and purposes. Like every wide receiver can bust. They all do it. So it's really, really tough to want to give anybody a five-star rating.
Yeah, it is for a wide receiver. So when you plug in, when you plugged in Williams, and then you were going to decide on Thomas, Juju, or Allen, then it left you in this range where you're basically in this 5K range where you're Fuller, Brown. Again, Fuller, I was on the edge with cash or not until that late, you know, in the day, and then I had Brown. Or then
it's
Ross.
Amazing. Look at the bottom of your list, man. John Brown, Mecole Hardman, John Ross, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyrell Williams, Terry McLaurin, all fucking beasted. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah. Then pick that guy.
All of them. Terry McLaurin every week.
He's the real deal in that. He's the real deal.
If you haven't done your waivers and he's out there, get him.
Yeah, get him. He's the real deal. That guy, great. And if whenever we see Haskins take over, you know, they go back to that Ohio State they played together.
When we get to the cash game, man, I want to talk about if you and I got like served with believing in Will Fuller.
Yeah,
that's stupid news.
That news what drove me on it, and down here tight ends.
Wow, I see two really good five-star plays, man. They both crushed.
Yeah, it was a tight end week for me, and I had no problem playing. And a couple actually, in one of my 150 maxes, I played two tight ends. I played Waller and Kelsey.
The other I absolutely did. I allowed. This was a week where I talked about it in my mass multi-entry video. That whereas normally I will reduce tight end of the flex to no more than 10%. This week I set it to 25%. Because this was a week where I loved multiple.
It was a week like that, and we're not always going to get them. But I even actually had some people ask me to do it in cash. Like, no, you don't need to do that. Put two of them in cash. But in GPPs, we could have easily saw two of these guys smash for 30 plus. And like I said, I talked about it last week in the nauseas where Mahomes owed Kelsey at least one touchdown for how stupid he was with that no look in the end zone. So if you could have got up to Kelsey, yeah. But I mean, Waller was the chalk play. You should have played in cash, but you could, you know, Kelsey was just as fine if you wanted to go that route. Probably would have paid out better because you would have not went up for those wide receivers and would have been. But
Kelsey would have worked as a cash flex. His price would have been cheap for his role. Like I said, in hindsight, if you look at 7,300, like, would you rather play him or Juju Smith-Schuster or Allen or any of those guys?
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
But not in a, and not my DraftKings cash where I'm taking a running back away.
Well, that was the issue. Yeah, we always want the running back.
Wide receiver. Oh, hell yeah. I would take him over any of those guys at that price.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And this was a weird week where Waller was such a great pay down that it was like, shit, the only way I could get Kelsey in there is in my flex.
It would have been. And it's like one of those things where I could see breaking the rule last week of doing it where you wanted to run two tight ends because just in that situation, you figured, you know, with Watkins coming off that massive game, very rarely you're going to see a wide receiver have two in a row like that. You're just not. I mean, it's a good time to get off guys like that. And so, yeah, I could have seen it last week. I just was trying to ingrain in people's head that usually in cash games it's safer just to play those running backs in the flex. But definitely GPPs, I said my hybrids, I was running two tight ends. Just it felt good.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, down defense, it was hard to get off Texan to a point because they're so cheap. And if you look through and saw when look over at FanDuel and see how close price they were together, I would play the Patriots over there. Then Texan here, you know, it's kind of those things we talked about price wise.
That's how I did it. I mean, again, on FanDuel, it was the same price. So I just went with the Patriots. Yeah. On DraftKings, I wanted the savings.
Exactly.
So I always went down to the
Texans. So, you know, very little Patriots. But I was basically on heavy. Whereas Texans, Patriots, well, Texans lineups did okay. They weren't going to kill you. But if you didn't have that 30 spot, like I freaking talked about earlier, I hate defense. You know, when I saw those two pick sixes at the end of that game, I was just like, damn it, no.
No chance. No chance.
All those lineups are dead now that do not have the Patriots in defense. And I hate that dictates a slate. And I just, come on, super flex, let's go.
It's a lot more fun when you have the Patriots, in fairness.
Yeah, those lineups are awesome. I mean, look at them. Yeah. The rest of them are, are toast. There's no chance they're going to have any chance without the defense.
And next time, have the team that scores 37.
Yeah, I'll just lock button the Patriots next time, and then we'll be good to go. Not have to complain about it. So
there you go. Anybody playing Miami? If you're playing against Miami, all in.
Yeah, it's Dallas this week, so Dallas at home. Oh. But their price, like you're talking about price-wise, I want to say they hit up like 4,500 or something on DraftKings.
It's 4,300 and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
they made it tough. They made it tough.
It's up there. So,
but you know what? I'm happy they did that because if it was.
You make a thought, a chance. Yeah, I mean, you have to think about it this time.
Yeah. Or else everybody would just have used that.
Yeah,
so
you got to get the price up there. And I'm going to say right now that if Miami's going to keep looking like what they're looking at by the end of the season, those defenses are going to be 5K plus, maybe hitting the 6K mark.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be like, should I play Zeke Elliott or defense against Miami?
I'm telling you,
it's you're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he'll hit 6K by the end of the year.
Good luck stacking Zeke and Miami defense this and Dallas defense this week because that's a little spending.
I'm fine with doing that.
I'm going to do it, but it's a little
fine with doing that.
A little expensive.
A little expensive, but yeah.
Oh, Dalvin Cook. I love him. Don't start looking at this week yet. We still got to look.
So overall, I was pretty happy with it. Again, to me, once we get over here, I'll pull this down real quick and we'll pull up our head-to-head cash game.
I will just share. I mean, do you want to share your assessment? I'm going to share my assessment of how it went for me this week.
Sure.
My mass multi-entry on DraftKings did not go particularly well for tournaments. I had a lot of Juju Smith-Schuster. I did not combine the right three running backs in any lineup. I didn't get enough Dalvin Cook in my lineups. I didn't have enough Breida. I did have some. I have exposure to those guys. They're on my list. I always get some exposure to them. It was more like 10%. But I didn't have it enough to where I got a situation. And the biggest killer was no Robinson, not enough Patriots. Like all of those things together caused me in my mass multi-entry this week. In my mass multi-entry to be down about 50% of my entry amount.
Yeah, I'm similar boat. I was extremely over the field in a few guys like Juju, and when how Big Ben was looking, I got really nervous early in that game. Had a ton of Kamara, and when those guys are chalk and you're trying to go over the chalk, it hurts even more, worse. But luckily, that's why I play cash games. When I came back, I ended up having about a break-even week because I played cash games so heavy and the cash games came through. But MME was real rough, and it was one of those weeks where you're kind of happy to sit and break even when you look at your cash game or your tournament lineups, and they don't come back too nice in the return, and you see that negative ROI in the GPPs. But that's why you play cash games.
When that cash game broke, it's amazing. The lineups all look so similar in cash games that – I knew I was basically up against, like, it's weird. I don't know if somebody's selling a lineup or what the hell's going on out there. There must be an optimizer putting on, because there was a very specific lineup that I was going against that wound up like 3 points below that had Josh Allen at the quarterback. And you must have seen it too.
I didn't go back and look at them, but I'm sure I can kind of envision what it would be.
I had seen this one lineup and, I was going up against a bunch of known people who had it. And they were sitting, they were basically, I already knew it was the exact same lineup as you and I used. Well, I don't want to spoiler alert it, but it was the exact same lineup as what I had, except two swaps. A quarterback swap, the quarterback went down from Mahomes to Allen, and one of the players, I think like one of the wide receivers was went up to Keenan Allen, right? It was like, they had Juju Smith and all the other same guys.
Yep.
And it was like full, instead of Fuller, it was like Keenan. It was like,
the thing is, it was like a 3v3, but more like a 2v2 for me. But it was like a 3v3 cash build this week where it was like on DraftKings where I kind of hate him, but at the same time, I love him because I saw all week in chat and people trying to outthink themselves. I'm like, stop it. Play the right plays and whatever happens, happens. People will outthink their smarts. Think about what you're doing and let other people outthink themselves.
Don't get cute.
No.
So look at the don't. Let's put up the don't get cute cash lineup. Right, the head to head challenge here.
Let me.
I spoiler alerted it before, but I don't want to ruin this.
You're pretty good at that, though.
I know. I'm a spoiler.
Hold on.
Kaiser Sose is, what's his name?
There it is.
Sorry.
Coors Light.
Okay. Look at the head-to-head challenge. Look what happened here.
Yeah.
I told you they won't believe us. Guys, I want to tell you this. I know you won't believe me. We did not share the lineup. We did not consult and tell each other what we were playing.
What's the point of that? We're playing the same cash lineup.
It would be very stupid to do a head-to-head challenge and do that.
I was hoping that you had – I kind of had a feeling that it was going to come to 2v2 or 3v3, but I kind of looking at your sheet, I kind of figured it was probably coming down to those two wide receivers.
Or Brown. That was what it came down to for me.
It was Juju and Fuller. And then for me, it was, you know, I had Brown in there all day long, and I kept thinking, I had that in my mind, you know, Brown's a downfield guy. He's getting deep balls. What are the chances he's going to see him? I think Fuller's going to get more work here. People are going to be down on him, but I still think they have the same floor and same upside. And then Juju, I was on Allen. I was on Allen and Brown, honestly, until Sunday. And then I changed them out and put Juju and Fuller. Now, if I would have stayed on the other one,
it would
have been great. Because I think Allen got like 17. He got, you know, about four or five more. And then I think Brown, what did he end up with?
Brown got 14 points, so he
did it. Six. So it would have been up 10 more points from what I chose. And this worked out. I mean, this cashed all 50-50s that I was in, and it did well. But, yeah, man, that news, you know, sometimes that news swings you right. Sometimes it swings you wrong. And I still think it's just that game was so ugly, man. That game was so ugly.
I put an alternative cash lineup in the second of the DFFC, like the DFS championships. I'm in both contests.
Yep.
So I had a second lineup that I had kind of come up with that I thought was also cashy. And it did have Allen. It did have Josh Allen in it and a couple of changes. And that one did get to like 143.
Yeah, I would have done the same, but when I don't have internet.
I think that one had Brown and Allen as a stack in it. And then I went up to also a different wide receiver. I can't remember exactly who. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, so my alternate cash lineup did a little better, but this was awesome. And I want to reiterate what you said. Keg last week told me something. Keg said to me, Kevin, you always like fuck around and wait till the last second to set up your cash games. And like, you know, you're all over the place. He said to me, just set it up on Tuesday. Yeah. Don't wait until Friday. You get busy with things. And then, you know, and I start MMEing and I forget about cash. And Keg told me, set it up on Tuesday, set up all your entries. Get in all the 50-50s, all that shit. Do one for Thursday through Monday. The Thursday to Monday, and do one for the Sunday only, and just get it, and it's in front of you. And then set up dummy lineup, but all week long, you can just tinker with that one line. It pops up first on your DraftKings lineup screen. You can't miss it, because the one with the most entries always pops up first.
And it does help you with your GPP play, because while you're going through and tinkering that cash lineup, you're seeing where the chalk's going to be at. And if you have that cash lineup built early in the week as you're messing with it, then when you start doing your MME, in your mind, you already know, okay, he's going to be way over-owned. I want to get under on him. I've seen a lot of chalk on this guy. And it's in your mind. It's visually you're seeing, too, the guys. You're like, okay, well, even though he's chalk, I want to eat that chalk, and I want to get right off this chalk. And building your hybrids off that cash lineup make it so easy.
Well, the hybrid is beautiful. So what I did last week, and what I want people at home to do, the guys watching this, DFS Army subscribers, and anybody who's happens again, this video is just on YouTube because we want to, you know, this is past information, not going forward. So you set it up like that. So as I'm fucking around with my cash lineup, sometimes I'll make some changes. I'll look at it and go, I don't like that for cash, but ooh, I like this iteration as a tournament entry. So I'll kind of like modify it, and I'll throw it in, you know, $100, $150 man spy or my usual ladder up. Like that's how I create my hybrid ladders off of this. Like I would take this lineup that I liked for cash and say, all right, exactly like what I did for the DFS championships. I dropped to Allen. I switched Fuller for Brown, or I might do something else where I put Ross in there and, you know, switched up Jacobs because I didn't like Jacobs as a tournament play as much. And then I would move up at running back. So all these little iterations, differences, where you don't have to go too crazy, that's a hybrid entry. Yep. I think people don't understand what a hybrid is. And that's how I build the hybrid. You take your cash lineup, then you make a few changes here or there, stack it up, get a little correlation going, and boom, that's a hybrid. Get off a little chalk, make two or three switches, boom, that's a hybrid. You know what I'm saying? Is that how you do it too?
Yeah. I mean, because like, let's just take this lineup, for example. I wouldn't have touched Mahomes because I was just wanted to be over the field, or, you know, that's how I'd want to start one of my hybrid lineups. But then I would say, look at it and be like, okay, well, I talked about the two tight ends. Well, I knew Kamara was going to be extremely high owned, but I still liked Eckler and Jacobs. Jacobs, another guy that I wanted to get off in tournaments as well. Eckler was the one that I was kind of set on.
Same.
In that one lineup, you could go to and then you decide, like for Williams, you know, is that chocolate I want to eat? Don't want to eat. I was okay eating it at his price. But then you could upgrade the other wide receiver, Fuller, or you could, or take Juju and move those guys around.
Like, or go to a correlated, like in a cash game or in a hybrid, you would have dropped Fuller for Mecole Hardman, really, in this situation. Although if you did DeMarcus Robinson, amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, you might try to squeeze a Kelce into the flex instead of Alvin Kamara in a lineup. And so that change got you Mahomes, two of his pass catchers. You got off some chalk, or you might have switched Juju Smith-Schuster to.
Yeah, you're talking, you take Kamara out, you put Kelce in, there adds another 15 points, you know, you throw Hardman back in. Your lineup's going to hit about 180 just for making two swaps off your cash lineup. It's really that easy, but start from
If you had enough money left over to get up to the Patriots, you won the tournament.
Oh, yeah, you're up there over 200 and you're just loving life, so, and it's very doable.
So that was a quick lesson in how to take your cash lineup and turn it into hybrid lineups to attack smaller high dollar contests and all contests, right? One last note, though. Same thing happened with me, man. I put enough cash games in, as we always talk about, to where just straddling the line in this one, and I actually hit in some triple ups with this one too, which was weird, but I actually hit in some of those too. What's that?
That's odd. Yeah, I didn't get any triple ups. I usually get them more on fan.
Three mans. Yeah,
three mans. I love running three mans.
Yeah, not triple. I said the wrong thing, but I hit some of those two. Not all, but I hit some of those two with that cash lineup. And the field was delineated by like one or two moves. Like the cash line miss was at about like 132.5. And if you just passed it, you hit it. And it was awesome because I was down. I was feeling bad. Listen, I wasn't feeling too bad after my 23K on Thursday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I was feeling bad on Sunday because my DraftKings MME wasn't working out. And my cash lineup hits the cash line. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. All of a sudden, I didn't lose any money. So it was a great, great non-losing week, Sunday main. And of course, crushing the showdowns on Thursday and Monday night. Did I play the Sunday night one? I did not. So, but no, I did, and I just broke even or something. But crushing those on those two nights definitely helped.
It's good. It was overall a good week. I'm looking forward to week three. I'm looking forward to getting all this stuff out and hopefully get these initial projections done out there so the DFS Army guys can start messing with lineups.
All right, let me break down what's coming this week. Break down what's coming. All right, so first of all, anybody watching this, make sure to like and subscribe to this channel. It will notify you when a new video comes out. We do a lot of these, so you'll like them. I did a tutorial the other day on how to use the optimizer for showdowns. If you didn't watch it, I think it's one of the best tutorials I've ever done. And I just feel sorry for people who don't watch them because, you know, everybody thinks they know, but you don't. Trust me. So you should watch those. And then coming up this week as well, later today, there will be the Vegas Lines breakdown where I will break it down along with Season Long Says. And Ryan Fight On 2016 from the Beat the Bookie site. So we'll look at the betting angles for each game. We'll look at the DFS angles for each game. We'll have a lot of fun. We'll try to do it within an hour to an hour and 20 minutes, hopefully. Then later in the week, sheets, of course, showdown breakdowns, my sheets, keg sheets. We got sheets for every single slate, everything, half days, full days, afternoons, mornings, whatever you want, NFL related. We have sheets on Thursday night, maybe. Well, I might want to switch the Wolfpack up a little earlier. So maybe on Thursday night, we'll do the Wolfpack podcast with myself, Keg, and Marley again. And then I will be back on Saturday with the VIP only Players Club podcast for DFS Army subscribers. If you're watching this and you are not a DFS Army subscriber, okay. Okay.
I want to say one thing to add on all of that. One thing that I love about DFS Army and our community that we've built within Slack and whatnot is if you have ideas and there's other things that you would like to see, we'd love to hear them. There's all times people throw ideas in and we're like, That's a great idea. Let's look at incorporating that. And I just love the feedback that everybody gives each other. You know, we're trying to build something that's unlike anything else out there. And you're going to get feedback right away on anything you have of either it's a fantastic idea or no, we've thought about that. It's not going to really pan out, but you're going to get feedback on ideas. And there's not a lot of other places that you can do that where we will actually look at running some of those things. So.
Not only that, I mean, just the back and forth communication. I think we were talking about it today, how people who subscribe for DFS Army Lite, and if you're a DFS Army Lite subscriber, I mean, it really was intended for professional players who didn't need any sort of assistance. And it comes off as it's designed for lower end players who want to pay less. And that's really an unfortunate mischaracterization. Part of having awesome tools is learning how to use them and learning how to use them properly, learning the proper methods for lineup construction. And I just get way too many emails from people who don't understand stacking, for example, and just hit optimize on an optimizer and throw it in the Millie Maker and then wonder why they're not making money. And, you know, it's sad, but we don't have another way of communicating. We do these pods and we communicate within our team Slack forums. And if you're not in there, I don't have another way of teaching you things. We can't do it through osmosis. Got to be around for us to talk to you. So if you're a DFS Army Lite subscriber, write into the site, upgrade to VIP. We'll give you a promo code to get it almost the same price. We want you in our chat so you can learn. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another look back. But it's time to look forward and crush week 3. Let's get this.
Let's do it. Deuces.